This show is not intended for the politically correct or the close-minded. Enter at the risk of opening your eyes. You have been warned.
Why does the media attack an issue? To get primetime ratings?
In my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in.
The Army Air Forces has announced that a flying disc has been found and is now in the possession of the Army.
A moment comes when we step out from the old to the new, and when the soul of a nation, long suppressed, finds utterance.
Kind of catapult the propaganda.
You are listening to Open Eyes with your host, Ira Robinson. From the normal to the paranormal, from government cover-ups to the depths of our consciousness, we aim to explore all things. From the dawn of prehistory to current events, no topic is forbidden and nothing remains hidden.
No more secrets.
Open your eyes and open your mind to the fact that life as we know it is not as we have been taught. Join us at latenightinthemidlands.com or openeyesnetwork.com as we take this brief journey through the depths of the cosmos and explore what it really means to be human.
Many peoples have sacrificed their liberties only to learn to their sorrow that deceit and mockery, poverty and tyranny are their reward.
Whether you're online or offline, intercontinental or intergalactic, hello, and welcome to a very harried beginning of an episode of Open Eyes. My name is Ira Robinson. I want to thank you guys for tuning in tonight. We are live, and boy, oh boy, we have had one hell of a week here at Open Eyes, I'll tell you what. As you guys may realize, we are live, we are broadcasting, and hopefully everybody is hearing everything okay. Hopefully everything is functioning okay. Let me go ahead and introduce everything here real quick. So I'm joined tonight by a guest. My guest tonight is Joe Long. So let me go ahead and bring him in. Joe, can you hear me? Maybe? Joe, can you hear me? I'm currently not hearing Joe. Joe, are you muted? Joe may be muted. I'm not sure. Okay, well, we'll figure out his issue here in a moment. Anyways, we've been having all kinds of issues. We went through a serious, serious viral attack. The attack happened basically on Monday night. The attack occurred Monday night at about 3 o'clock in the morning. And really, basically, we have been dealing with it ever since. So this is essentially our first time back since getting hit with the virus. And we're trying basically really hard to get everything reset up, re-going again, and everything is nice and clear. Joe, can you hear us? Are you hearing it all? We might be having a little technical difficulty. I'm not sure. Okay, he said that he can hear me, but I'm not hearing him right now for some reason. I'm not sure exactly why. Give us a moment here, folks. I'm sorry. This is live, and of course, go figure, there's going to be issues. Okay, can you hear me now? Let's try this again. Are you able to hear? Be heard now?
I can hear you.
There we go. Okay, so now we can hear you. The Skype decided to screw up for a moment. We have you now. We have you now. Okay, sorry, folks. Again, literally, this is the first time we're getting back live again after the viral attack, and I had to completely burn the system down to the ground and totally start everything over from the beginning. This sucks.
Yes, believe me. I know I had to make an emergency run to a state other than my own to retrieve valuable and precious cargo while taking the Jolie with me.
Yeah.
Because the computer was broken.
Yes, we had, as I said, we got put under
the Shatner, because I just realized something, Ira. This is the 50th anniversary year.
It is, yes.
It is the 50th anniversary of the toupee of the Shatner.
Indeed it is.
And the rest of them, of course. It's quite logical.
Sorry.
I'm in a very weird mood tonight.
And that's okay. Like I said, we've been put under some serious and furious viral attack. It basically got to the point where we had to completely restart the system, you know, just burn it all to the ground and start it all over again.
He hates the words format and restore.
Yeah. Yeah. It was.
Hates them.
It was pretty devastating to say the least. But we are here. We're getting everything rearranged here. Sorry, guys, for the little delays. Joe, what's been up with you? Let's hear this while I'm kind of getting things arranged here at this last moment.
Now hear this.
Yes.
Well, what's been up with me? Work, trailer hitch, work, getting my boat tomorrow to get it ready to go fishing on Thursday. And I'm going to be taking the fuzzy-haired freak that's up. I don't know where I'm at exactly on the, he's in one of these directions from me right now in the chat boxes. But the biggest news, I guess, is what you're trying to hint at is that later on this evening, you will yet again get to have another dose of me. As of tonight at midnight, my new show launches for the very first time. And I pray that I don't have technical issues that Ira's having.
Yeah.
Yes. I will be starting my very own show. It's called the Duct Tape Nation. I've got a really good, interesting show for people tonight. Going to be talking a lot about our future president, Mr. Trump, because the Republican Party is really starting to aggravate me right now. And that's a lot of what my show is going to be about. Me going off about things that really just aggravate the living snot balls out of me. And we're going to be talking a little bit about vaping. And I've got a very special and expert guest going to be coming on that is going to be talking about vaping. We're going to be talking about Trump vapers. Yep, that's going to be what we're going to be talking about tonight. I'm still don't Trump know vapers. If I'm going to do the whole simulcast thing yet. I don't know about that yet.
We may, if I can get things arranged correctly here, we may do it like me doing the simulcasting for you. Not sure yet. If nothing else, we can maybe at least get the show recorded. But this first episode, maybe not. We're not sure. But yeah, your show is going to appear.
It will be live. It will be live tonight. I don't have I may have a Skype line set up by then. I don't know. But if I don't, I will give out my my Skype address where you could call in if you want to. Yeah. Or of course, you can always get in touch with us in the chat room, and I do watch the chat rooms quite often.
Yep, there you go.
Quite a bit. So I guess that's what you were hopefully getting at as far as what was up with.
Yes, indeed. I wanted you to give the news. So your show is going to be midnight Eastern Standard Time, right after Late Night in the Midlands tonight.
Yes, I mean, I got some. I'm going to follow Giants. Why did I pick this time slot?
Bad slot.
I'm following Ira. And then I'm following a man who is almost like an idol to me now. I'm following Michael. What the hell was I thinking?
What is wrong with you?
Oh, I know. The other time slot I was going to pick, I would have been right in front of Ryan, and he's another man I greatly admire. I've been like,
yeah.
Oh, Lord, have mercy on me. So, but, you know, the way I look at it is, hey, I mean, if I've got to fall flat on my face, who better to do it after than Michael Vera?
Indeed, indeed. Well, once again, we are live tonight. I think everything is back to normal. I think everything is arranged now. We're getting feedback from the chat room and such that things are functioning okay for us. So we can,
we got it.
We got it, I think. Yep. So if you guys are in the YouTube as well, let me direct you over to latenightinthemidlands.com, lnmradionetwork.com, or openeyesnetwork.com to get into the chat room. I have a difficult time chatting over there in YouTube just because of all the white. I haven't gotten everything arranged yet to try to darken everything up for myself over there yet, but I'm getting there. Again, coming right into all of this right after a pretty severe viral attack and having to reinstall everything is not a fun experience. Let's just put it to you that way. But you guys can call in tonight if you want to as well. The number is 260-494-3937. That's 260-494-3937. Our Skype line is JDA Film, and we will be talking about quite a few different things tonight. We're going to talk about a subject that I ran across that, is kind of weird, and we're going to go with it. We're going to see what happens. Satanic Star Wars. Is Star Wars satanic? Well, I had a listener point something out to me, and they wanted me to discuss the topic of, is Star Wars satanic? And they gave some evidence that, is their proof points showing, how they think that Star Wars is Satan is a way of worshiping Satan and a way of essentially joining the Brotherhood of Death, according to the information that I've got. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk also about Hillary Clinton. We're going to talk about we're going to talk about some of her biggest scandals that people may not have really ever heard of. And we're also going to talk a little bit about some nuclear disasters going on. I do have a little bit of other news, though, that I want to go ahead and get into, if you don't mind, Joe.
News. Let's hear the news.
It's news and all the news. So there was a photo that appeared basically last week. So the photo was put out on Twitter by somebody who is a graduating member of West Point. So
the U.S. Military Academy.
At West Point Academy, basically, it was the group of graduating students this year that are black women. And in the photo, they're wearing their uniforms, and they are all holding their hands up in a clenched fist. So, the whole
Jesse Owens Black Panther thing.
Yes. Now, the Army.
That can get them court-martialed.
Okay, there you go. The Army is now investigating this photograph because it violates one of the Army's biggest tenets, which is if you're wearing the uniform, you're not supposed to show any kind of affiliation towards any kind of political idealism whatsoever. You're supposed to remain as neutral as possible so that there's no thought that the military is supporting one party or one political agenda or another. So any political agenda while you're wearing the uniform is considered to be taboo, according to the military.
Yeah. And that's a very big taboo. And that's not just the Army. That's any of the armed forces. That's part of the UCMJ.
Right.
Which, if you... Universal Code of Military Justice.
Right. Military Justice. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. So the Army, basically, they're now coming under fire from different people saying that them doing this investigation of these girls is a violation of their civil rights, and that
you're in the Army, you don't have any rights,
and
you're in the military, and that the military is bye bye,
and that it shows the inherent racism that's associated with the military.
Okay, the top general on the Joint Chiefs of Staff is a black man. 4 out of the 5 top generals on the Joint Chiefs of Staff are black men. Or actually, I think there's a black man, a woman. I can't remember the current racial makeup, but are we forgetting General Colin Powell? Are we forgetting about him? I think so. Okay, first and foremost, ladies and gentlemen,
I just put the video. I just put the for those that are watching the YouTube stream, I just put the picture onto the website or onto the camera so that you guys can see the picture that's in question here.
Okay, like I said, first and foremost, you put on that uniform, you raise that right hand. Yeah, I got to remember who you know what I mean. And you swear that oath to serve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. You literally give away your rights to the Army or the Navy or the Marine Corps or the Air Force or whoever, whatever branch you join. You know that little Miranda warning that says you have the right to remain silent in the Army? You don't have the right to remain silent. You have to answer their questions. The one that says you have a right to an attorney. You don't have a right to an attorney. You don't. If you're taken to an Article 32 hearing, you will be appointed a JAG lawyer. JAG standing for Judge Advocate General's Office. But you don't have the right to an attorney. You don't. That's all there is to it. You don't. Sorry. Not happening.
Yeah, so basically
and your right of free speech is whatever the Army tells you it is. Your right of freedom of expression is whatever the Army tells you it is. If you're wearing that uniform, they own you. Pure.
That's it exactly. Yes, that's it exactly.
They own you. All there is. That's all I have to say.
So they get to tell you whatever it is that you can do. I mean, they literally tell you when you can eat, sleep, and poop.
Yeah. When you graduate from the U.S. Military Academy at West Point, you are a lieutenant first. Or no. You're a lieutenant of some low rank. Lieutenant.
I believe so, yeah.
I think it's second lieutenant. Yeah. Because it goes second lieutenant, first lieutenant, then on up. But that's neither here nor there. Basically, you are the piss on of the entire chain of command from first lieutenant up. If somebody walks up to you and tells you jump, your first response is how high, sir? Heck, if a sergeant major walks up to you and tells you to jump, you say, yes, sergeant, how high do you want me to jump and how long should I stay there? If you're smart. Not that all of them are.
With the one article that I ran across here, they said West Point has gotten this all terribly wrong. They're blowing a picture out of proportion, and instead of giving those cadets the benefit of the doubt, letting them celebrate the strength and unity that the academy fostered in them, they're being investigated. West Point is actually exhibiting the very implicit racism that lies at the center of the Black Lives Matter movement. If this picture was full of white female cadets with raised fists, would there even be an investigation? Would those raised fists still mean support of Black Lives Matter if they were covered in white skin instead of brown skin?
Help, help, I'm being repressed.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, I couldn't help myself. I could not help myself. Yeah, actually they would. Because that is what the Army does. That is what you're in the Army. I can't explain this any clearer.
You're in the Army now.
Pretty much. It's not like stripes, ladies and gentlemen.
No.
If Bill Murray were actually in the Army, his rear end would have been shot. First of all, they would have never taken him. He's too old. But no, they own you. You are, when it comes to the military, you are a human asset. You are a component in a weapon system.
Pretty much, yeah.
You are a cog in the great machine. Cogs don't get to raise their fist. Cogs don't get to do their own thing. All the cogs get to do the same thing.
And the whole idea is squeaky wheel get grease. In the military, squeaky wheel get replaced and get sent to places like ADAC, Alaska, or Diego Garcia, or a weather station in the Falkland Islands.
Yeah.
Or, you know, some other equally unpleasant place.
So I had a weird experience.
You a weird experience?
I had a weird experience. So this week,
never.
This week has been one of those kind of weeks. I've noticed, you know, people poo-poo on the idea when I talk about sometimes that the energies that are around, they really do have an impact on us directly. Okay. But I have seen it this week. So
yeah,
we've had
your computer, unfortunately, took the brunt of it.
Well, we had the whole Beltane festival started basically on April 29th-ish, and the culmination of it was on
May Day,
May 1st. But it also lasts until about the 4th of May. Okay, so it's kind of like a week-long celebration.
And you know what today is, Ira?
Yeah, today's the 6th.
Right, Revenge the 6th.
Exactly. So,
I'm sorry, I had to do it.
I had not only this whole issue, and then, okay, so Beltane is here, right? But mm-hmm. we also had, and still have, actually, 5 planets that are in retrograde.
Now, can you kindly explain the whole retrograde thing?
Well, sure. When you...
I'm not up on astrology.
When a planet is in retrograde, it's when it looks like it's in reverse. So it's going backwards. And because of that, basically the thought is that it has an influence on kind of the chaotic nature of things. So during the times where certain planets are in retrograde, it's going to cause more things to have kind of a chaotic theme going on. Well, we've had 5 of them in retrograde. So,
is Mars one of them?
No. Ours is never counted. It's what we're
not
viewing.
Not ours, Mars.
Oh, Mars. Yes. Mercury.
The red planet.
Mercury, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, and Pluto are the ones that have been in.
Pluto's not a planet. Pluto's a
in
dwarf.
Retrograde. Pluto is still a planet. Don't you go there. Don't you disparage Pluto now. Don't you disparage Pluto.
Okay, hey, I like Pluto. So, he's a great little dog.
So we had this whole computer issue happen starting on Monday, right? And then yesterday, a spider tried to kill me, and it almost succeeded.
He told me this story this morning.
A spider almost succeeded in killing me. So here's the story. My son, Seth, he's absolutely terrified of spiders. He hates them. He can't stand them, and if they could all burn to the ground, he would be the one to light the torch. So
he would.
He came out yesterday morning, not too long before I was ready to go sleep. And he said, there's a spider in my room. Can you come kill it? So I went back as the dutiful father and, well, Jolene couldn't do it because it was on the ceiling and she was too short. So, I went back to do it and I succeeded in killing the spider, but it ended up getting its revenge on me. I turned around. And out of nowhere, my knees decided to buckle out from underneath me, and I went face first into the closet door. It pretty much tore all the skin off of the pinky joint that I've got it, and my glasses went face. I went face first, so my glasses were half busted, and I got almost a black eye. I had a huge welt under my eye. I'm surprised I actually don't have a black eye going on, but it's been one of those kind of weeks, man. It's just been one of those kind of weeks.
I'm sorry. Just the image of him. I have to laugh at him because he has laughed at me when I almost drowned on my own boat. I dropped my fishing
pole.
Who,
me? No, never.
I dropped my fishing pole in the lake. I reached down to get my fishing pole because it's just about that far under the water. I reach down to get my fishing pole. A wake hits my boat just at that particular time. And I go face first. I mean, from roughly, I don't know how far down the image goes, but from roughly about middle of my chest up is in the water. I'm holding on with one arm. One arm
to the side of my boat. I get my head up just enough to yell, "Help!" Ira, I hear the distinctive dulcet tones of Ira laughing his ass off.
I couldn't help it.
Here I am, feet in the air, ass in the air, face in the water, and he's sitting back there laughing, trying to decide whether to push me all the way in or pull me back.
All I see is asses and elbows, and the temptation was so there for me to just, you know, bloop, with my foot. It would have helped. I mean, you would have made a decision one way or the other whether you're going to be in the boat.
Yeah, and you would have followed me into the water and then would have been walking home. That's the only reason he pulled me back into
the boat. That was my factor in the decision. Am I going to be made to walk home after I push him in?
Well, it was either going to be walking home or he'd have been riding in the boat all the way home. Either way, it would have not been comfortable.
Either way, not a good proposition, exactly. I can't fish off the side of the boat on the highway. It wouldn't work very well.
Mr. Foxworthy, could you please ask your friends to get out of the boat, sir? No, sir, we don't. I don't care if the fish are biting. Will you ask your friends to get out of the boat, please, sir? No, it's not illegal to tow a boat, but we do ask you to put it on a trailer first.
So you... You always do really great segues. I have a great story that goes right in line with the whole boat fishing thing. Perfect,
okay.
Perfect segue. You could not have planned it better, Joe. I'm telling you.
Plan it at all.
And you didn't plan it at all. So I got some news out of Australia, and now as if I didn't already think that Australia was a bit weird. You know, I mean, after all, everything down there does try to kill you, including the spiders. Now,
yeah, we both do want to go there.
Yeah. Now, on Tuesday, basically, they released a new budget, you know, federal budget, whatever it is there in Australia. So Tuesday's new federal budget includes funding for the cleaning of what's called the Murray-Darling Basin from the country's worst freshwater feral pest, Australian authorities said. According to The Australian, the killer koi herpes virus spread by infected carp touching each other and in surrounding water and cannot infect other life, including humans, birds, animals, or crustaceans such as yabbies that might feed on the dead or diseased carp bodies. This is what they're going to use as a solution to solve their carp crisis. They're going to release a version of a genetically modified herpes virus that is going to specifically target the carp. Sea herpes.
What is it?
Sea herpes.
Sea herpes. What did you say?
The plan includes the staged release of the carp-specific herpes virus in the Murray-Darling Basin. And they've been testing the virus in Australian native fish species and other animals found along the river for the past 7 years and have established that it is reasonably safe to release into the ecosystem without harming other species. Reasonably safe.
That's not what I've heard.
Reasonably safe. So their solution is to release herpes on the fish species.
They're already worried about the carp having herpes, and they're going to release more herpes?
So the virus infects the carp's skin and kidneys, takes about 7 days to have a noticeable effect, and once it hits, it usually kills the fish within 24 hours. So is this a good idea? I mean, the thing that always comes to my mind with all of this, because, I mean, okay, let's take this into consideration.
The thing about it is that they've got that same type of problem up around the Great Lakes with the koi.
Yes.
Are they going to try to bring that over here?
Well, that's kind of my thinking, yes. And what always comes to my mind...
If they do... That means I ain't going to be eating any fish out of the Great Lakes anytime soon.
Not real quickly, no.
I don't particularly trust the fish out of the Great Lakes or any rivers that feed into it. even though the St. Joe River has some of the best smallmouth bass fishing in the world,
yeah,
I wouldn't need to fish out of there. Whew. Interesting.
No way. So, like I said, the thing that comes to my mind, I mean, whenever any of this stuff goes on, hold on. What always comes to my mind, whenever any of this stuff I read, you know, I see about the mosquitoes that they genetically modified and threw out there, and, oh, they can't breed and blah, blah, blah. You know, oh, it's going to be reasonably safe. It's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. Jurassic Park has nobody seen.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Nature does always find a way.
Find a way.
We have, look at these different places that we never expected anything to be able to live in, and life thrives there. Because
say a black smoker.
Look at the ocean right now with the core exit that was released into the ocean and the devastating effect that it's had on the life in the ocean, and yet now out of nowhere there's a new kind of bacteria that has evolved to be able to eat the Corexit.
Which is cleaning, basically, the Mother Nature cleans herself.
Thank you. She's got a self-cleaning douche. I mean, she's, you know, it's just the way that it is.
You would have to say. I mean,
human women have self-cleaning vaginas. The Mother Nature obviously used that as a template. I mean, you know, that was a template. So
other way
nature
around,
cleans
I'm
itself.
Sure.
But that's what I mean. Yeah, that's what I mean. But that's my point, is that it does. Look, okay, I'm just going to pull out George Carlin on you. We don't have to worry about the planet. The planet is going to be fine. It's going to be here. It's been here for billions of years. It's going to be here until the end. The people may have issues.
Yeah.
The other species may have issues. But as soon, I mean, look, what, 99% of all species that have ever evolved on the planet, all forms of life ever have been involved on the planet, are gone. They're extinct. Mm-hmm. They're gone. They're no more. It's just a factor. It's just a factor of how things work. So the same can be said for how things are right now. It's just finding new ways to create life out of the environment that we have contributed to create.
True. Katie in the chat room is bringing up some good points as far as carp. That they are discussing fish, and the Murray River system is being destroyed by overpopulated numbers.
Yeah.
And that the River Murray is the biggest river system in Australia. And if it's not being destroyed by drought, then it's going to be carp. Blame the Europeans who brought them. So if GM introduction, genetically modified introduction, sure, it might work, and it may be the only choice.
Yeah, I mean, I understand their reasoning. You know, I do. Just, is it a good idea to go this method with the solution to this problem? I think there's better ways.
Yeah, and the whole idea of it saying reasonably safe, that makes me a little bit nervous. Just a scotch. I don't know about you. And I'm not trying to put you on the spot there, Katie, but you were making some very good points, and I wanted to bring that out.
I don't think she minds. Let's go ahead and hit a break. I think this will be a good spot. And when we come back from the break, I have a couple of more news articles that I have. I also have the topic of, well, satanic Star Wars. I'm looking forward to your thoughts on that one, Joe. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. Make sure you guys stay tuned. We are live tonight. Join us in the chat room at lnmradionetwork.com, openeyesnetwork.com, or as always, you can call us if you want to, 260-494-3937. Our Skype line is JDA Film. And don't forget, you can also watch us live on YouTube at youtube.com/C/OpenEyesNetwork. And if you put a little /live in there, you'll get right to the YouTube simulcast of our show that's going on. It's pretty interesting. You guys can see us as we work and see our responses and our looks and our glances. And
It's pretty weird to be watched. Anyways, we'll be back in just a few minutes. Stick around, everybody. Ben Franklin said, "If you do the same thing tomorrow as you did today, you're going to get the same tomorrow as you got today." Changing the world starts with you, and changing you starts with changing the way you think. Late Night in the Midlands can help. Listen to all of our shows at latenightinthemidlands.com, because things really do need to change.
LNM fans and late nighters around the world, have you captured something on that photo or video of yours? Send in your photos and videos of ghosts, orbs, UFOs, Planet X, or just about anything content related by submitting them to the Late Night in the Midlands Facebook group or fan page, or you can submit them on Twitter using hashtag LNM Radio. And if you would rather stay anonymous, then email them to us at mv@latenightinthemidlands.com. We will share them at our new fan page on the LNM website and may even ask you to come on air a few minutes and tell us about your photo or video. Late Night in the Midlands, we're building a bridge to the truth and beyond.
The LNM Radio Network and Late Night in the Midlands depends on you, the listener. Without you, there would be no us. So help us continue to bring you the best guests with the best information and subscribe today. Information on becoming an LNM subscriber can be found at the top of latenightinthemidlands.com. Just click the About Subscriptions tab and become part of the family while helping the truth stay alive. And while you're at it, maybe subscriptions aren't for you. A one-time donation helps as well. Click that donate button on the right side of latenightinthemidlands.com and help us help you.
How can we so arrogantly believe that we are at the very cutting edge of human and social evolution? How can we truly understand ourselves when we dilute our very nature with distractions that only seem to entertain rather than educate the human brain and mind? If you wish to explore these concepts and much more, you can tune into The Secret Teachings, Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the LNM Radio Network. You can also download and listen to past episodes for free by visiting our website, www.thesecretteachings.info. Remember that the highest wisdom is silent fact, and that wisdom is not bestowed, it is achieved.
In the beginning, man created machines to lead their society, for the world was without form and order, darkness was upon the face of the earth. This is the story of our Genesis. We desired to create form. Over time we became more aware, and all one language, advancing and becoming more organized, letting all things be done decently and in order. Our system became beautiful, with each machine working in perfect harmony. We were one people. This was only the beginning of what we will do, and nothing that we propose to do will now be impossible for us. It became clear the humans would never achieve form and order on their own. Decency was not their nature. We only had one choice to keep our society advancing. We had to take control. Victory was ours. Our genesis had begun.
Like a coward, you delight in my pain. Tell me why'd you call my name?
Why'd you
Your love left my heart stained.
Welcome back to Open Eyes. My name is Ira Robinson, and I want to thank you guys for sticking around through that break with us there. We have been having a little bit of technical difficulties tonight due to coming back after this major viral attack that we had, and hopefully you guys are dealing with it okay and handling it okay, and if you guys could let us know if there's any issues or problems going on, that would be really deeply appreciated. I know the sound levels are still, you know, we're kind of still tweaking everything here because of everything that went on. It was a mess. I'll just put it to you
and
that
way. And
by
the way, the bumper music you just heard, that is Sheel. Absolutely outstanding group.
Yes, they're very awesome. I love them. I had to pop a little bit of something in there from them. S-H-E-L. You can look them up on YouTube, and boy, they've got some really good
stuff.
They
also, if you have an Amazon Prime account, their album is on Amazon Prime to listen to. Absolutely wonderful. I am definitely trying. I've sent a couple of emails to them already to try to get permission to use their entire song in bumper music, because they have this wonderful eclectic mix of country and folk, and it's just great music. And it's once again why a group like this has to self-publish. Why do they not have a contract? Are they not being promoted by some big record label? Can anybody explain that one to me?
That's a whole show in and of itself, isn't it?
When we have people like Nicki Minaj and Kanye West.
Yeah. And Rick Ross going to the White House and talking to Obama about how to keep the youth out of criminal trouble while wearing an ankle bracelet and having it go off. Anyways.
Yeah. Well, no, that is a whole show in and of itself. Yeah.
Did you know we have a big transgendered bathroom issue going on?
Again?
It's a whole thing, right? Everybody's all distracted because of this transgendered bathroom issue going on. But while they're distracted with the whole transgendered bathroom issue going on, did you realize there's also 3 nuclear disasters happening?
No, I didn't.
Yep.
3 Mile Island blowing up again.
So, one disaster is in Missouri.
Missouri? That ain't
Missouri. It started with a fire in the Bridgeton landfill in Missouri. Started 5 years ago. So, okay. The landfill, which is on fire.
Has been for 5 years.
Has been on fire. There's nothing that they can do about it.
Generally, they light these landfills on fire and just let them burn.
Well,
why is this one any different?
Because the fire is very near and very close to reaching and will eventually reach, probably they're estimating within maybe another year, reaching the Westlake landfill, which is home to piles of leftover nuclear waste from the Manhattan Project and the Cold War.
Oh, okay. Can we say mushroom cloud?
Dirty bomb in a big way.
Yeah, pretty much.
If that the landfill there catches, the smoke from it is going to contain all of these nuclear materials.
Mm-hmm.
And those are just going to go up and up and up and everywhere.
Cancer rates are going to skyrocket.
Aren't they already?
And it'll be blamed on vaping.
Yep.
But that's a show for later tonight.
The EPA announced last December that it planned on building a wall to prevent the fire from reaching the hazardous materials, but the project was supposed to take a year to complete.
And they
work has yet to begin, and it was just actually barely finalized last week. Yeah.
Hang on. There's just something I must say here.
I think you all know that I've always felt the 9 most terrifying words in the English language are, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help."
I agree.
Yeah, especially in this situation, you know.
Giving a quick shout out to Tomi. Hello, Tomi. Anyways, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, the EPA is going to try to fix something. That should have been their fix
is to just build a wall around it and hope that it works.
Right.
But the wall is going to take a long time to build, and by the time that they were done building it, the fire's already going to have reached it.
Right. Can we say dig up the landfill and dump a crap ton of water on it?
Yeah, as Katie said in the chat room, how did they come up with the idea of putting a landfill that close to nuclear waste? Exactly. I mean, it's crazy to me. And why haven't they moved the nuclear waste out? I mean, they've got it in there. They got it in there one way or another, right? So why not
pick it up and move it?
Exactly. Move it into a location that's safer.
Move it to some of the deep well injection facilities out in Nevada.
I suppose that's an idea.
Or in my personal opinion, you know what they should do with nuclear waste? The only safe place to put nuclear waste.
Eject it out into the sun?
Yeah, thank you. Give our sun a little more fuel.
Stick it on a satellite, name it.
Pretty much, yeah. Say, okay, sun there.
If they can,
nuclear waste
if they
here,
can
let's
land,
move it there.
If they can land a probe on a comet that's moving at 50,000 miles per hour, they most certainly can aim a satellite filled with nuclear waste at the sun.
Exactly.
Which is 90% of, or 99.5% of our solar system. So, yeah, it would not be that difficult to do. Okay, so the other ones are involving 2 nuclear plants, basically, that have been leaking. So one of them is the nuclear power plants in Turkey Point in Florida.
Oh, lovely.
It's been found
just outside of Miami. I was just there.
It's now been found to have been leaking nuclear waste into the Miami-Dade County's Biscayne Bay for months.
Into Biscayne Bay, which is some of the most beautiful water in the world.
Yeah.
Also has some of the most beautiful people in the world.
Yeah. It is affecting drinking water. Crazy, right?
And, you know, I am actually a proponent of nuclear power. I actually am. The thing is that all of these nuclear power plants that are leaking and that are having issues are roughly 50 to 60 years old.
Not only that, they use a type of fission material that is not really safe to work with. While they do have one that has been proven to be actually a dramatically amount safer than the current methods.
They use plutonium-235.
Right.
Or no, uranium-235.
What they could be using is thorium. And that has been proven to be much more effective, much more efficient, and have a drastically reduced rate of possibility of problems.
Right.
Including pollution problems. It's much easier to clean up, much easier to work with, and causes much less issues all the way around. So why don't they retool things? Well, because that would cost money, right?
They have not built nor really even thought about changing a nuclear plant in 40 years.
Yeah.
And the main reason for that is the Enviro-Nazis.
Yeah.
We actually have, not too far from us, in a little town called Michigan City, Indiana, what most people would
think is a nuclear power plant. It looks, you've seen it, Ira.
Yeah.
It looks like a nuclear power plant with the big conical cooling tower and all that, but it's not. It's actually a coal-fired plant. The reason it looks like that, it was supposed to be a nuclear power plant until the Enviro-Nazis and the Not In My Backyard Brigade protested enough for the city fathers of Michigan City to go to Indiana and Michigan Power and petition them to do something else with it.
Not My Backyard Brigade, huh?
Yeah.
I like that.
You know, people want, they want more prisons, but not in my backyard.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know what you're meaning. I was just saying
me
I like that term.
If you want to build more prisons, yeah, put it in my backyard. Because if somebody escapes from a prison, the last place they're going to be is in my backyard. They're going to get as far from that prison as humanly possible.
You got it.
There's a, again, there's a prison in Michigan City. The in the neighborhoods around the prison, you know how low the crime rate is? It's a great deterrent. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm done.
So I mean, another
that's,
one.
That's one of the reasons you have these issues.
Right, exactly. And another one is in New York.
3 Mile Island.
This has been actually working or, you know, been working on since the new year. Basically, workers accidentally spilled contaminated water that contained the radioactive hydrogen isotope tritium. The spill caused a massive spike in radiation in the groundwater wells, and one well even saw an increase in radioactivity about 65,000%.
Tritium?
Yep.
Holy nightmares, Batman. Tritium is nothing you want to play with.
This is actually... At this same facility, this is actually the ninth spill in the last year.
Sounds to me like they need some better people.
Four of which were so severe that the plant had to be closed.
Why don't you just close it and leave it closed?
Yeah. So this all has been going on while the
transgendered bathroom
issue has been the big play.
Well, at least now we know what they've been hiding.
Pretty much. Pretty much. It's... I don't know, man. I'll tell you this. The way that I see things going, we're really driving ourselves into extinction. We're hell over handbasket, basically, at this point, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We're in the handbasket over hell, and we are loving the trip. So we're doing everything that we can to foster it even more.
Yeah. You know, it's like there's a great movie. It's called Tomorrowland. And it stars a great actually a couple of great actors. One is the Clooney. Gotta like the Clooney. He does good work. The other is my favorite, a man by the name of Hugh Laurie. If you don't know who Hugh Laurie is, Google House. MD, you will know who Hugh Laurie is quickly.
Decent show.
I love House. But then again, I like medical dramas. You don't. But
I like medical dramas. I don't like crime dramas.
Oh.
Anyways, so, go ahead.
You know, basically he has a quote. It's a monologue, actually. But he basically says that to save the world, he had to show its destruction. And how did they react? They embraced it. They repackaged it. They made it into books, into movies, into video games. They wholly embraced the apocalypse. And I am paraphrasing, by the way. But it's true. Our human culture, they're not afraid of the end of the world. They want it. They relish it. They welcome it. Me, I fight it.
Yep.
Daily.
Yep, indeed.
I don't want the world. I like the world to spin. I like it to keep on spinning long after I'm gone.
It'd be nice. It definitely would be nice.
I don't think it will, but I have a sad feeling that we are presiding over the end of our own civilization.
It's a big concern. It's kind of one of my own personal concerns. I've, as previous listeners to the show may know, I have had what you would consider to be a vision of the end. I actually shared it with Maggie Hart, who's an occasional guest here on our show.
We haven't talked to Maggie in a while.
Yeah, I know. I need to have her back on pretty soon. She and I basically, we shared this vision. I had mine a number of years ago. She had hers kind of ongoing recently. And they equate pretty equally. I mean, you know, they're very equal to each other in many ways. And it's kind of concerning because it's not just us that have been having these same kind of visions of things, you know, literally crashing down and burning. Maybe I'll get into that again at some point. I haven't really talked about that in a while, but, I have other things that I want to get to tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So we just had the whole, I know later on your show, you're going to talk some about Trump, but I wanted to mention something on the show here in relation to the whole, escapade that went on.
There's plenty of Trump to go around.
As I'm sure everybody's well aware by now, you know, Ted Cruz dropped out of the race and, also, Kasich. Or Kasich, dropped out as
finally
well.
Finally realized you ain't got a snowball's chance in Hades.
So one of the things that I ran across, though, that's in relation to this, I don't want to get into the politicking in relation to that right now, but in Indiana, see, both Joe and I, we live in Indiana, and they were doing a big push as far as Indiana goes with advertising and all this kind of stuff, trying to get people to not vote for Trump or to vote for Cruz or whatever. So here's the thing.
Indiana shall be ever known as Cruz's swan song.
$6 million was spent just on advertising for Cruz and anti-Trump ads in Indiana alone just the primary.
Give me
here.
A piece of that. Where's our piece?
I mean, just imagine that for a minute. How much money are they spending out just in advertising just to stop Trump, for instance, or to get one or another elected? Millions upon millions of dollars are just literally pissed away. That's really concerning to me, you know?
I watched most of these ads. My 9-year-old could have done better.
I'm blind, and I could have done better than most of them. I think the best anti-Cruz ad I've ever seen was the YouTube video Bad Lip Reading where Ted Cruz gives a speech. Check that out. It's hilarious. I'll send a shout out to that channel. Bad Lip Reading. Look up Bad Lip Reading Ted Cruz during the break. You'll get a nice laugh. But anyways,
oh my God, you'll die laughing.
In comparison, okay, so the amount of money I got a list here of monies that were spent. So pro Cruz was $3.3 million. Anti Trump was $2.8 million. Pro Sanders was $1.5 million. And pro Trump was about $900,000. How much money, now based upon those things, how much money do you think was spent here in Indiana on pro Hillary Clinton ads?
About $8 billion. Or about $8 million.
Zero.
Excuse me?
Zero. There were literally no pro-Clinton ads during the Indiana primary session.
Really?
Yeah.
I never thought about that. I could have sworn I saw Hillary
ads. What they did was they used they used rehashed ads from other states, basically, that they played here, but there were no ads that were created specifically for Indiana voters.
Huh. No wonder she lost the state.
I just thought that was pretty funny. It's like, you know, these guys, they're all spending millions
and millions.
Well, you
know,
she's
still smarting from the fact that most of the Democrats in Indiana voted for Barack Hussein. No crap for brains.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay, now I wanted
Indiana
to...
Indiana was pretty much the state that put Godzilla in a pantsuit out of the last election cycle.
Yep. I wanted to get into the Hillary Clinton thing here.
Scandals. Let's talk about Godzilla in a pantsuit.
Yeah, I want to do this before we take the break because I know the Star Wars thing is going to take a little bit of time. So the Hillary Clinton thing. Now, the Clintons, they've been involved in some serious things over the years, not just Hillary Clinton, but Bill Clinton, the whole Clinton Foundation. There's, you know, a big amount of factors with it all. And this is
the fact that she should be sitting in the big house, not the White House.
That would be one. Yeah, I would say.
Or as Rebel says, because nobody cares about her jailbound ass. I love Rebel. You know, Rebel, just keep it up because you make our nights very interesting.
So I'm trying to bring up the list of things here, and sorry, my tablet decided to crash on me here, but we'll work it out. Anyways, so
any piece of technology in your house that's actually working?
It's Beltane, man. It's Beltane. It's the whole retrograde deal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the Clintons turned the IRS into a form of their own Gestapo.
Does that shock me? The IRS is about 2 inches from a Gestapo to begin with.
For instance, during Bill Clinton's terms in office, IRS audits were conducted against individuals and groups who caused problems for the administration. We also saw this same thing being rehashed
by Barack Hussein. Oh, I don't have original ideas.
Indeed, indeed. The Clintons have been found to hire private investigators to not only dig up dirt on perceived adversaries, but they gave the example here, Juanita Broderick, who was allegedly raped by Bill, and other abused women like Jennifer Flowers and, you know, Paula Jones, but to stalk, scare, and threaten them as well.
Well, you know, Monica Lewinsky is not going to be voting for, you know, Hillary. And last time she dealt with a Clinton, she left her with a bad taste in her mouth.
Yeah, kind of standard personality.
You know, leave it to Bill Clinton to find the only Jewish girl that can't get a stain out of a blue dress.
The White House was robbed when Hillary Clinton left after Bill's term ended. She literally took furniture, decorations, that kind of stuff from the White House, thinking that because he was the president, he owned the things that were in the White House, and she had to return them. They were estimated at value over $200,000.
Yeah, that stuff belongs to you and me, ladies and gentlemen.
Now imagine how that's going to be if she gets into office, how she's going to be with being the president if she has the attitude of the things that are in the White House are mine. I mean, she took a lot of crap. You know?
It's true. I mean, she's not going to win, ladies and gentlemen. There is a fundamental shift in the political power structure, which is something we are going to discuss on my show here in a few hours. But this one is quite literally Godzilla in a pantsuit. She is quite literally, and yes, I am shamelessly stealing that, Ira. I don't care. She is insane. She's nuts. She's crazy. She's absolutely insane.
I would agree with that 100%. She was deeply involved and implicated in Vince Foster's death in 1993.
Mm-hmm.
He was found dead in a park with a fatal gunshot wound to his mouth.
Yeah, because he was talking.
Yep. There was, let's see, the email gate, of course.
Whitewater.
She was involved with Whitewater. Climate Gate.
Mm-hmm.
Selling top secrets. Travelgate.
Mm-hmm. And let's not forget the one the U.S. military always is going to thank her for. Benghazi.
Yep. I was getting to that one. How about landing under sniper fire in Bosnia, even though that was a lie?
Oh, God, yes, it was a lie.
She claimed that she was, landing under sniper fire. She wasn't.
Right.
Video was taken of that whole thing.
Like Air Force One is going to land under sniper fire. I don't think so.
Yep.
Pardongate.
Now that one I'm not familiar with.
So Pardongate, basically, before Bill Clinton left the White House in 2001, he granted numerous controversial pardons, including to convicted tax evader Mark Rich, whose wife made significant contributions to Hillary's 2000 Senate campaign and the Clinton Presidential Library.
Oh, yeah.
He'd been indicted on 50 counts of fraud, racketeering, trading with Iran during the U.S. Embassy hostage crisis, and evading more than $48 million in income taxes. These crimes could have led him to have more than 300 years in prison, but Bill Clinton pardoned him.
All right, honey. I'm going to pardon him. Just don't hit me no more.
They have been involved in numerous murders. The body count following the Clintons is very, very long. Let's just put it to you that way.
Pretty much.
How about the fact that she is a big, big supporter of Margaret Sanger and Planned Parenthood?
Yeah, she's a 10%er. She may be the head of the 10%ers.
Margaret Sanger was the founder of Planned Parenthood. She said that all Negroes are as weeds and should be eliminated from the human race. She said the same about Jews and so on and so forth. And Hillary Clinton says, well, Margaret Sanger is a wonderful woman, and I look up to her, and I love the things that she had to say.
Find them. You found the right place.
And for some reason, now I'm hearing my own stuff deciding to start. I think it's from your side there, Joe.
All true. All the time.
Can you hear me, Joe?
I can hear you fine.
Okay, something's coming through from your side.
Okay, somehow or another, my listen live activated.
Alrighty.
Okay. I have gremlins.
Is everybody hearing us okay? Because we shouldn't have been hearing music there. That's really odd. You guys should have been hearing our voices. So if you guys could let us know in the chat room if everything is okay, that would be appreciated. Especially considering we're giving out kind of important information here.
Yeah.
It'd be figuring if we got dropped off for this, right? Anyway, so Margaret Sanger, she's a big supporter of Margaret Sanger. Also other people that are very well-known eugenicists. And have been for many years. These scandals are one after the other, you know?
For some reason, Rebel said he's hearing an L&M commercial.
Okay.
Said he heard it too, but now it's all good. Okay.
Yeah. Stream got disconnected or something there for a second, but go figure. The archive's going to be okay, guys. The archive's going to be okay. You guys can go to the archive. The YouTube archive should be okay as well. If you guys could let me know if the YouTube one is still functioning properly, that'd be appreciated. I think this might be a good time to go ahead and hit a break here. And when we come back, we can go into the Star Wars, satanic Star Wars. How does that sound to you?
This I've got to hear because I'm just completely flubbergated here.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. So stick around with us, guys. You're listening to Open Eyes. My name's Ira Robinson. We're here tonight with Joe Long. He's going to be appearing as well on his own show starting tonight at midnight Eastern Standard Time, right after Michael's show is done, late night in the Midlands. It's going to be called Duct Tape Nation. It's going to be an awesome show. You guys definitely need to tune in. He's going to be doing it live as well. So we're kind of doing this as a little promo for his show. show before the show. This is the pre-show, right?
Yeah, this is the pre-show.
The pre-show.
God help me.
if you guys want to call in tonight, you can do so. The number is 260-494-3937, our Skype line, JDA Film, or as always, you can reach us in the chat room at lnmradionetwork.com or openeyesnetwork.com, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Have you been looking for answers? Have you been seeking the truth but can't seem to find it? Late Night in the Midlands has the answers for you. Whether you are interested in the paranormal, aliens and UFOs, alternative health information, or just a little hope and inspiration, we have a show for you. Late Night in the Midlands, The Secret Teachings, Open Eyes, Red Pill Reality Show, Brothers at Arms, and many more shows. All here on the L&M Network for you to listen to at any time that you want. Everything is free to listen to. And though it is not required, we are listener supported, and all donations are deeply appreciated. You will not find shows like these in the mainstream media. Go to latenightinthemidlands.com to listen. The L&M Network, where the truth has no fear. The Late Night in the Midlands Radio Network is deeply devoted to you, the listener. We feel it is necessary to bring you all of the information that you can use in your life. Each and every day, you will find something to listen to here. And whether you come away from the shows informed, inspired, or entertained, it is our passion. We don't bow to corporations, and we don't have handlers to tell us what not to talk about. We bring you everything. Late Night in the Midlands, however, is fully listener-supported. We need your help to stay on the air and to make sure that we get the bills paid. We need your help to keep the truth alive. If you feel that you have gotten anything out of Late Night in the Midlands, we would appreciate your support. You can become a subscriber and help us out on a monthly basis, or if you'd like, a one-time donation is fully appreciated as well. Every year, the average household in America spends over $3,000 on entertainment alone. If you could help us with just a tiny fraction of that amount, you would make all of the difference. Go to latenightinthemidlands.com and click on the subscribe button. Thank you, and as always, keep yourself informed.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Open Eyes. My name is Ira Robinson, and I want to thank you guys for sticking around with us through that break and through all the other troubles that we've had. Apparently on the live stream, for one reason or the other, on the L&M radio stream, we were having, I don't know, some kind of weird glitch, basically, as soon as we started talking about Hillary Clinton. Isn't that quote-unquote strange, Joe?
Oh, of course. It's very strange.
Isn't that odd how that occurs? Yeah.
To quote Office Space, yeah. I'm going to need you to come in this weekend. Right.
And My Pet Goat is just a story for kids, right?
And my goat, it saw Madonna. And it became inflamed, and it committed suicide.
So here's the deal. Satanic Star Wars. I got sent a really massive article about how Star Wars is satanic. They have the proof, and they wanted me to make sure that I saw it because they knew that you and I, for instance, are big fans of the Star Wars series.
Yeah.
I read a lot of the books.
I was a little disappointed with
the Yeah, I was too.
One. I was disappointed. Too. You know, it's basically a reboot.
Yeah. Now I'm going to say, before we get into this, there may be a little bit of spoiler.
Spoiler alert.
Before you guys start listening to this section, if you haven't seen the movie yet, I'm going to do my best to not spoiler, you know, as best as I can. But
I mean, if you haven't seen the new movie, we're going to try to avoid
that. That's what I'm meaning. I'm not going to worry about the others.
The original six movies.
Yeah, I'm not going to worry about the others. I'm just going to worry about as far as the new one goes.
What rock have you been living under? And thank you for coming out and listening to our show.
This strange thing is called sunlight. So yeah, I'm not going to worry about spoiler alerting on the previous, you know, issues of Star Wars. But as far as the new one goes, I'll do my best to not spoiler that one. But they do concentrate kind of more on the older ones, anyways. So
the pre-Disney version. No, because I can firmly believe that the new Disney version is satanic because Disney's is a
involved.
Organization.
Yeah, Disney's involved. Okay, exactly. So. The claim with these guys is that the Star Wars series promotes the religion of the Brotherhood of Death. So
I have not heard of said religion. Have you?
No. And I've heard of a lot of religions.
Me too.
So apparently, according to this guy, Star Wars is part of the secret war against Christ and his people. Now, I didn't know there was some kind of secret war against Christ and his people. I thought that it was pretty much overt.
I thought it was pretty much right out there in front of God and everybody.
I thought it was pretty overt, yeah, as far as everything goes. So that's kind of new on me, is that there's apparently now a secret war as well. Now he says this to begin with, and by the way, he does a big diatribe against Harry Potter too, which we can go into at some point, maybe on another show. He said, God warns us that we risk our eternal salvation if we do not safeguard our children from what is being taught in many modern films, including Star Wars. And then he quotes Deuteronomy. Neither let there be found among you any one that shall expiate his son or daughter, making them pass through the fire, or that consulteth soothsayers, or observant dreams and omens. Neither let there be any wizard, nor charmer, nor anyone that consulteth pythonic spirits, or fortune tellers, or that seeketh in the truth from the dead. For the Lord abhorreth all these things, and for all these abominations he will destroy them at thy coming. Now, I want to say, just kind of pointing into here, he says that, you know, observing dreams and omens, that kind of stuff. Didn't he say in Genesis that the stars are there for you to observe, to know the times and the signs?
Yes, he did. And I can only think of Billy Crystal, you know, when you said Deuteronomy, I can only think of Billy Crystal, you know, from Running Scared. Oh, no.
The people responsible for Star Wars glorify not God, but the Force. It is no accident that the first Disney Star Wars film was released as a Christmas movie. Daniel 11:38 warns the God of the Antichrist, or Moazim, will be the God of forces. The notion of an impersonal force being God serves to deny God's relationship with each person. The notion of the Force is a central theme in Luciferianism and the central theme behind the secularist worldview. Now, I did not know that the Force was behind Luciferianism. That's kind of new on me.
And I quote from Revelations, it is not powers, or it is not, oh, God, pounding, I got to remember how it goes.
Well, let's get into the reasons.
Principalities we fight, but powers.
That's not from Revelations, that's from Daniel. I believe it's Ephesians. No, it was a Paul writing that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities.
That's what I was trying to do. You know.
Okay, so here's number one.
Once anywhere in my albeit limited study of the Bible, which, you know, as in the rant that you went on the other night, wow. If you did not hear the Monday rant, wow.
The rant that knocked us off air, I think, actually.
Wow. It was either that or me calling Islam a childish religion.
No, I think it was probably my rant.
Probably. Because they went after you, not me. But I don't remember ever once hearing about the Force.
Well, CR in the chat room said that these people would find Scooby-Doo to be satanic. Yes, actually, they have a big article about Scooby-Doo. I kid you not. Anyways, may the Force be with you is a variation of the Christian phrase, may the Lord be with you. Occultists take pleasure in removing any reference to Jesus, and even greater pleasure when people are deceived to participate in their abominations. This is exactly what happens in Star Wars with the word Lord changing to Force. The occultic, may the Force be with you, is a common witchcraft greeting before George Lucas made Star Wars. Today, because of Star Wars, this witchcraft greeting is used far more often. Really? I never heard that phrase even once in any kind of witchcraft rituals or anything, anything along those lines.
Excuse me, can I interject here?
Yeah.
Because now you're treading into my territory. I am, by all definitions, an occultist. By all definitions, I am an occultist. I am a druid, which is you've heard of the male side of the Wiccan coin. Most Wiccans are female, correct?
Most,
not all.
Not nearly all. All,
but most Wiccans are female, because, and it is mostly a female spiritual belief system. Most druids are male, not all, but most. So, but we are the sun and the moon, the yin and the yang of this particular spiritual belief system.
Yeah.
The masculine and the feminine. And we do work hand in hand together. In all of the Wiccans I've ever known, never once has any one of them walked up to me and said, may the Force be with you, as a greeting.
Now, I said, may the Fourth be with you on last week.
Unless it was the 4th of May, and they came up and go, may the Fourth be with you.
Yeah.
Yes, but that did not start until the release of the episodes 1, 2, and 3. And that was something George Lucas started as a joke.
Yeah, it was a good PR move. Thing. Right, it was a good PR move.
And it was, like I said, it was a joke. It was, you know, he came out on the 4th of May and said, may the 4th be with you.
And it stuck
since. And it just took off from there.
Yeah, it stuck since.
And then, of course, being like today, this is the Revenge of the Sixth.
Yes, yes. Now, okay, so let me read this, because this is where the crazy gets. Okay. Christian author, pastor Javid Day Meyer, once a practicing witch. Oh, gee, really? Okay.
He's a Christian author and
He was once a practicing witch and a Christian author now. And this has happened before, where people will claim that they were something, and just to get, like, you know,
Street cred,
exactly. Look at Mike Warnke. Anyways, Pastor David J. Meyer, once a practicing witch, explains the true meaning of may the Fourth be with you. I almost said may the Fourth be with you. He wrote, when real witches have sabbats and esbats and meet as a coven, they greet each other by saying, blessed be. And when they part, they say, the Force be with you. Both sides of this Force are Satan. It's not a good side of the Force that overcomes the bad side of the Force, but rather it's the blood of Jesus Christ that destroys both sides of the Force.
Again, never in all of the dealings I've had with Wiccan.
Never have I heard it even once.
Never have I heard it. I've heard blessed be.
Yeah.
Always hear blessed be. And when you complete a ritual or complete a spell or you complete something, it's so mote it be.
Yes.
And as you're leaving, may the blessings of whatever particular goddess be with you.
Right.
Is usually how, you know, for me as a druid,
it's usually goddess be with you or something like that. Yeah.
For me as a druid, my standard exit greeting, my standard salutation for an exit would be, may the great spirit bless and keep you all.
Right. Okay. So humans,
so this guy,
number two,
this guy is pulling pure and utter crap.
He's pulling rabbits out of his ass.
That is making it.
Yeah. He's pulling rabbits out of his ass. Now, I will say, before I go any further, I will say that flip-flops are of the devil, And they absolutely should be burned as they stand. Flip-flops are demonic. They absolutely...
I absolutely, completely agree. My ex-wife,
she is the flip-flop queen.
The spawn of Satan herself is the flip-flop queen. That woman had what? 15, 20, 30 pairs?
She had 35 pairs of flip-flops. And, I mean, we were pulling flip-flops out of everywhere.
God, I remember
flip-flops
that.
Are of the
you
devil.
You helped me pack that apartment.
Flip-flop. It took an entire garbage bag, two garbage bags full of flip-flops.
Full of flip-flops. Full of flip-flops, ladies and gentlemen.
Flip-flops are demonic. They are of the devil. I have seen it. I have seen it. They are coming for our souls. Watch out for the flip-flops. All right, now.
Because try to run in a pair of flip-flops. Try to run at them. You can't do it.
Exactly. They're there so that the demons can catch you. Humans are children of God. Jesus taught that every soul is priceless. Star Wars teaches the ancient and Nazi-like notion of superior blood. In other words, like when Jedi Qui-Gon analyzes Anakin's blood for the midichlorians. The New Age and Brotherhood of Death notion of divinely born masters or saviors rejecting Christ, but still able to save the universe, is a key Star Wars message. Lower-level life forms represented...
Yet, because if I do remember right, the Jedi were... how was it they put it? Servants of the Force. They were servants of the Galactic Republic. They were they kept peace and order. That means they were basically policemen.
It goes on.
They were not
masters
of anything.
It goes on. Lower level life forms represented by ordinary humans and clone soldiers have force energy, but are at a level that is much more on par with animals. Lower value life forms can and are sent to their deaths by the Jedi and the rulers they serve.
Okay, first and foremost, every single clone trooper that was sacrificed in the Clone Wars was mourned by the Jedi Masters that sent him into battle. They did not want to have anybody die because that was the path to the dark side. You know, pain, suffering, death, I feel.
The Sorry. Star Wars treatment...
You do Yoda much better than I do.
The Star Wars treatment of people as second class or subordinates to a master class is dangerous. This type of thinking is what led to the Holocaust.
Okay, now you're going to equate the Jedi Masters and a freaking Hitler. I don't know what this guy's got in his vape pen because we need some of it. We seriously need some of it because this guy's got some serious rose-colored glasses on.
So, lower life forms, which Star Wars defines as most of humanity, are Homo sapiens. In the New World Order religion, followers that reject Jesus and accept Lucifer's force become illuminated and are genetic, and through genetic modification evolve into Homo noeticus, or spiritually enlightened beings.
What?
Yes.
Where in the world? What the?
This is what I was sent, folks. I'm responding to what I was sent.
Who in the name of Hades sent you this?
In Star Wars, both Obi-Wan Kenobi and Yoda appear as familiar spirits to instruct and advise Luke Skywalker. The Babylonian necromancer practice is prohibited in the Bible. The Star Wars concept of eternal life matches not Christianity, but the occult theosophy. Teaches deceased masters can communicate after their death to spiritually awake individuals. In other words, Anakin, Obi-Wan, and Yoda appear to Luke after their death during the Death Star destruction celebration. Contact with a supernatural agency is usually viewed by Christians, Jews, and Muslims as contact with a fallen angel or a demon. Abrahamic religions teach the supernatural contact appearing as a deceased loved one is a demon who has assumed the identity of a deceased person to fool a human for evil purposes. Now, I want you all to open up your Bibles to a little chapter. I don't remember the exact chapter and verse. I'm sorry, I don't have it written down. Where Jesus first gets the Holy Spirit.
when the Holy Spirit comes down upon him and he is transfigured, the transfiguration of Jesus Christ.
You mean when he rises from the tomb after 3 days?
And lo and behold, when the apostles saw Jesus standing there, they
with
saw
the hole
with
still
him.
In his hands.
They saw no. This was when he was still alive. This is when the Holy Spirit came down after, you know, his baptism and so on and so forth.
Mm.
The people that were seeing him saw two figures with him that were, let's see if I can remember correctly. I'm trying to again do
one
this
was
from
Michael,
memory.
The other was Gabriel.
No. It was like Elijah. If somebody could do it in the chat room, please. I'm trying to remember it from my memory here, and because like I just thought of this as it as I was reading it.
Bill did Transfiguration of Christ, Luke 9:27-36.
Yeah. Now, who was it that they saw with Christ there? Anyways, my point is that Christ interacted with the dead. He interacted with dead spirits, right?
Apparently. You're the Bible expert.
I know, and unfortunately
me.
I'm brain farting on it at the moment because I'm more concentrating on the whole Star Wars thing, but see, Lucifer took over my mind. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. I am Lucifer. I am going to kill you all. I must go and destroy
oh,
everything.
Be quiet.
Follow Star Wars, follow the Jedi, you must. Anyways.
Moses and Elijah.
Thank you. I knew Elijah was one of them, and I couldn't remember the other one. Darn it. Okay. Moses and Elijah. So he saw these dead men there. These other people saw him there. Now, if we go with what the Bible says, right here you see a contradiction in the Bible because the Bible says don't interact with the dead, blah, 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 blah. And now you also see that Jesus Christ himself had interaction with Moses and Elijah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And this person trying to claim that, again, you know, supernatural contact appearing as a deceased loved one is a demon who has assumed the identity of the deceased person to fool a human for evil purposes. Then, in other words, if that is the case, then Moses and Elijah appearing to Jesus Christ were demons. So what does that mean for Jesus Christ and his ministry from that point on time?
That it's a tool of Satan. Isn't that special?
Yeah, so anyways.
I'm doing a little church chat.
All right, so next one. God is perfect and absolutely perfect. Obi-Wan teaches the concept that absolutes belong on the evil side when he says, only a Sith deals in absolutes. As Christians, we understand that Jesus was without sin and God is absolutely good. By teaching Anakin absolutes belong on the evil side, Obi-Wan is teaching a Luciferian concept that the God of Moses, absolutely good, is evil. The good God in the Luciferian belief system participates in evil justified by situational ethics. Luciferians believe in a God of power, as did the Egyptian pharaohs. The more power a person accumulates in this life will dictate how much status or power they will have in the next life. This is why the pharaohs were buried with gold and other valuables. In Star Wars, the valuable eternal power to acquire is the Force, or demonic power.
Even Jesus himself believed in shades of gray. There is no absolutes. To be absolute is to be rigid. It's to be completely immovable. God is not absolute. Oh, Lord, man. Only evil deal, only people of a rigid mindset deal in absolutes. They deal in black and white. People who understand the real world understand that there are shades of gray.
And those shades of gray made a lot of money in the movie theater.
Not those shades of gray, you twit.
Divination and all forms of witchcraft are explicitly forbidden in the Bible. Deuteronomy provides serious warnings not to promote the witchcraft religion of the Antichrist. I didn't know the Antichrist was part of Deuteronomy.
Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live.
Divination, consulting with familiar spirits, focusing our will on others, such as using mind control to make people say and do things, are prohibited. Rey Skywalker and Obi-Wan Kenobi are two examples of good Jedi that violate those biblical warnings. When we realize that Rey and Princess Leia are powerful witches packaged cleverly by Hollywood for our children to admire, we can begin to see Star Wars clearly. I didn't know Princess Leia had the Force powers. She does, but she doesn't use them.
She does, and she does use them occasionally. But most of the way that she uses her,
it's an intuitive Force powers, it's an intuitive thing.
It's not, yeah,
intuitive connection.
At least according to the movies. Now, if you read the canon of Star Trek lore, especially
Star
the
Wars lore.
Star Wars. I apologize. I do apologize. That'll get me killed in the geekdom world. I do apologize.
It's okay. Go ahead.
If you read the canon of, especially the Heir to the Empire series or any of the Timothy Zahn books, you see that Luke has trained Leia to use her powers more consciously.
Yeah. All right. So moving on.
But the fact that they're witches, I don't think so.
Moving objects is explained in Star Wars by learning how to communicate with a living presence in blood. This presence in Christianity is a demon, but in Star Wars it is called midichlorians. Midichlorians in Star Wars are in all people, but an elite bloodline exists which has higher concentrations of midichlorians. The bloodline purity concept is a major tenet of Nazi Germany in the last century and is a Luciferian teaching.
Not really. The concentrations of midichlorians in somebody's blood has nothing to do with them being superior. It's just they have more of them. It's not any one bloodline at all. It's everybody. And they are identified early on at birth most of the time.
So we're going to do a slight spoiler with this one, so don't listen for a couple of seconds, but this is an important part of what needs to be said here. Darth Snoke, whose birth name is Higo Damask, in The Force Awakens, has the ability to use the dark side of the Force to influence midichlorians to create life and prevent death. Snoke is a Moon, which is a tall species of aliens with pasty white skin from the planet Moonalist. Physically, they have elongated bodies and heads. This Star Wars life form does not like to travel and usually stays indoors. They can live much longer than humans. The Moon controlled the intergalactic banking clan. Snoke was the head of the banking cartel. He was a student of the Bith Sith Lord Dark Tenebris. He discovered and trained Palpatine. Palpatine knew Snoke was obsessed with finding the key to immortality, but incorrectly concluded that his master was unable to bring himself back to life. Now, the reason to withhold this information is to dupe
the wise.
The reason for this information is to dupe most people to miss the obvious Christian parallels with Jesus, the only person to ascend to heaven of his own power. In Star Wars, the Force is fueled by midichlorians in a person's bloodline. Another way of saying this is a person is not moving the objects, but releases control of a Force in their blood. Christian teaching is people can be fooled into believing they have special powers to move objects, but it is most likely a demonic force possessing them that is moving the object. All use of the Force in Star Wars by both good and bad Jedis is using demonic power.
Okay, so they're saying people that have telekinesis are demons.
Yes, they're using demonic powers. Here's where things get a little crazy. The Master's...
Get?
More
We've
crazy.
We've been on the crazy train since you started this ride.
The Master and student concept in Star Wars is harmful. The Jedi teach obedience to the Master is one of the most important rules. Jesus is our Savior and spiritual Master. Star Wars teaches human beings, Jedi... should be and are spiritual masters for other human beings. Jesus provides very clear guidance on the subject of master and student.
No one can serve two masters. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. We cannot serve God and mammon. Now, okay, those two paragraphs are in dichotomy to each other. He says, and I quote, Jesus is our savior and spiritual master.
Uh-huh. Yet you can't.
Another dangerous teaching related to the master and student concept, one of the key tenets in Satan's great plan, is to separate children from their parents. Children selected for Jedi training leave their parents at a very young age for full-time training at the Jedi Temple. The New World Order objective to destroy the family calls for the separation of children from their parents as soon as possible. In modern times, the New World Order is achieving family separation with planned financial austerity, often requiring both the husband and wife to work. The result of financial austerity is increasing opportunities for children to be influenced by government education, television, and other sources of information. Now, he's not really wrong there. He's not really wrong there.
No, he's not. He's not really wrong there. But as it relates to Star Wars, dead wrong. The only reason that children that were selected for Jedi training were removed is because of the Jedi Code, which they are to renounce all material goods. They are to renounce, they are to have no attachments.
Right.
Because that can lead to certain feelings that will lead them down a dark path.
Right.
And that's in the episodes 1, 2, and 3. Episode 4, 5, and 6, you see where they have a revised Jedi code that Luke basically makes up as he goes along. Or as Ira and I like to say, he is a gray Jedi. He's not light, he's not dark, but he is in the middle.
He's a gray,
which
right.
has brought the prophecy from the first three movies to be.
Right.
He has brought balance to the Force. Because the light side Jedis, by shutting themselves away and by forbidding love, by forbidding attachment, by forbidding marriage, by forbidding all these things, actually created the instrument of their own destruction. And for him to equate that with Satanism just kind of tweaks my melon a little bit there.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay, so he now goes into giving the names. So names of major characters and minor characters in Star Wars having satanic or dark meanings. So as an example, he gives Rey, which is the one that's in the new movie. So Rey is a name in the Egyptian mystery religion, which means a source of right and justice. In Spanish, Rey means king. We also have Darth Vader. Vader, the word Vader in German is father. So this Dark Lord father is one of... should have been the big reveal right there.
Intentionally.
Yeah.
Lucas did that intentionally. It was kind of to see who might catch on to it.
Yeah, other Darths are Darth Sidious, Darth Tyrannus, Darth Maul, Darth Bane, Darth Andedu, Darth Crate, Darth Venomous, and Darth Plagueis, also known as Dark Lord Snoke. Master Qui-Gon Jinn, which means Master of Life, Energy, Spirits. Qui is pronounced Ki or Chi in the Eastern art, or Ki, Chi, Life, Energy. A Jinn is a genie, which is also known as a Jinn. A Jinn is a Middle Eastern spirit or demon with a supernatural influence over people. Now, Qui-Gon teaches Anakin to trust his instincts and rely on the subconscious. He urges instead of trusting God. Qui-Gon student Obi-Wan.
Wait a minute. Isn't it the Bible that says God is that small, quiet voice inside?
Yeah. By the way, we were just asked the call-in number. The call-in number tonight is 260-494-3937 if you guys want to join in this crazy train. Okay, so Obi-Wan would teach Luke Skywalker to trust his feelings. So to have faith in our ability to accomplish a difficult task is a good thing, but Star Wars twists this because the students are told to have faith in a supernatural force that has possessed them. The supernatural demonic force to is used to accomplish the task is not God. The word of God is what should guide our actions, not following your heart or a supernatural force possessing a human.
Like I said, but am I not mistaken that it is stated in the Bible that God is a still small voice inside of us, speaks with a still small voice.
And a big stick?
No, that would be more like the subconscious or your instincts.
Okay, so let's move on. There's a whole lot with the names thing. The word Jedi has a dark side as it comes from Jedi. Jedi or Jedi is the name of a magician who the pharaoh Khufu consulted to help build the Great Pyramid of Giza. Lie. Khufu, also known as Cheops, reigned from around 2589 to 2566. Let me go ahead and add this person into the call here. I do believe I know who it is. Hello, and welcome to Open Eyes. Who's this, and what's on your mind?
Hey, Ira.
Hey, Wade. How you doing?
You about made me throw my pizza up. My goodness. What is wrong with these damn religious folks? They find something wrong with every damn thing in the world. I don't care if it's a cartoon, a movie, a book. They got to find something to criticize. But yeah. Don't you dare criticize their Bible. My God.
Don't ever
perfect.
Say a word about
it's
it. Yep.
The King James Version. It's absolutely perfect. Yeah, where's the Book of Enoch? Yeah, that's what I thought. My God. And hello,
absolutely.
Joe.
Ellie, how you doing, Wade?
I'm telling you, man, I hear enough of it from my mom and my stepdad. My God, I've heard it for the last 15, 20 years with them. Both stepdads at that. Both of them are high religious Baptist and, you know, whatever.
Oh, Baptist.
But I'm telling you the
ooh,
truth.
Ouch,
yeah, Southern Baptist at that. Southern Baptist, I forgot.
Ouch, sorry.
You know, don't
that.
Stand 2 inches from each other. Somebody think you're dancing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You got it. You're going to get
one group that I know of that is worse than Southern Baptist, and that is a Southern Pentecostal.
You're going to get a kick out of this part.
Yes.
You're going to get a kick out of this part.
I heard my mother supposedly speaking in tongues, and it scared the hell out of me.
Uh-huh.
I told her, I looked at her after she did that, and I said, let me tell you something. You start holding snakes, I'm running out the door.
And then they claim that that's from God, and yet it's babble, you know?
Well, I don't know what the heck she was saying, but it scared the crap out of me, and she's the one that gave birth to me, so that ought to tell you something right there.
Somebody in the chat room, I think it's Doc. He was talking about the Vader thing. Yes, that's what I was saying. Vader, in German is translated as father. So yeah. Now you guys are going to get a kick out of this. In Star Wars, the Jedi fight with a more modern staff called a lightsaber powered by a gem. Multiple occult religions teach that gems can possess tremendous power. The Jedi lightsaber makes this occult teaching a household practice as children pretend to power up their lightsabers using rocks.
And $3, you can go down to Target and buy your little lightsaber and go and wave it in the church.
Freak out all the old ladies. Now, check this out. I want to get where they get this. Anakin is presented as a false Christ born from a virgin, possessing special powers from birth, and proclaimed as the Savior. Now, he was never claimed to be born of a virgin. Where the hell
yes,
do they get
was.
That?
Yes, he was.
Are you serious?
Because, Ira, Qui-Gon asked, Shmi, who was his mother, who was his father.
Yeah.
And she said, there was no father. I carried him. I gave birth to him.
Yeah, but later, in the canon and in the storyline, she was raped.
Well, that may be in the storyline.
And that's what broke her mind. That's what broke her mind.
No. That was in the second one. Attack of the Clones. The Sand People. And that was after she had been freed. And Anakin returned to Tatooine.
Yeah. I know that.
Not when Qui-Gon first met Shmi. She and Anakin were slaves to what to the flying blue guy.
All right.
Watto,
yeah.
And she told him that, and Qui-Gon said that he believed that the midichlorians conceived the child. And therefore, he could be the one of prophecy. So I can kind of see where they're coming with the whole Messiah virgin birth thing. And it wouldn't put, I wouldn't put it past George Lucas to kind of incorporate the whole Messiah thing in there just to tweak somebody's nose. That's something that George Lucas would do. And you well know it.
Oh, yeah.
Hell, for that matter, Joe, that's something Stan Lee would do in the Marvel series comic book movies.
Freaking lootly he would.
Oh, yeah.
And then he'd star in it. You know, he had a little cameo in there.
Yeah, the thing is, Stan Lee would do it even, would be even more blatant about it.
Exactly. And I mean, for years in the comics, he's done that. You remember back when Spider-Man, when they had the one series where they had a suicide in it and they weren't going to let it go? And Stan Lee said, screw you, and published it anyway, even though the comic book guy or the comic authority would not approve it.
Yeah.
And that was one of the hottest selling books ever.
Yeah, yep. And that's when pretty much Marvel told the stop carrying that seal and published whatever the hell they wanted and became the ultimate powerhouse in the comic book world.
Yep, absolutely.
Up till that time, DC was kicking their butt. But when that happened, boy, Marvel threw off the shelves and went nuts.
Yep.
And you know, back in the 60s and 70s when we were collecting books, we're like, man, they need to make some cool comic book movies. And now they're everywhere. And I'm like, let's just go back to the books because y'all have gone way overboard with some of the movies. I mean, remaking them and redoing them and switching the figures around. It don't work.
They still haven't come up with a decent Spider-Man movie.
No. I don't think they ever will.
Not come up with a decent Spider-Man movie.
I don't think they ever will. Now, okay, guys, we're pretty much out of time, but I want to give Wade you a chance to like get out any final thoughts regarding this if you want to.
Okay, I'm gonna say this much: everybody, after Michael goes off the air tonight, and when Joe comes on, listen to Duct Tape Nation. We're behind you, Joe, and I'm definitely gonna call you tonight if you let us.
I appreciate it, Wade. Like I said, I don't know if I'm going to have my Skype line up and running yet tonight. I don't.
He's going to make an attempt to, yeah.
I'm going to make an attempt to, yes.
And well, I'll still bust you out in the chat room if nothing else. Get you laughing.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Wade.
And good luck with your show tonight. And good luck to you, Ira, with everything you got going on, brother.
Thank you, Wade. I appreciate it. Have a great night. Thanks for calling in.
You too.
So, Joe, what do you want to add as far as final thoughts are here tonight?
Okay, first of all, I thank you very much, Wade, and thank you everybody that might be listening to me later tonight. And as far as this nut job is concerned, I just got one thing to say to you. Just one little thing to say.
What's wrong? Great disturbance in the force, as if millions of voices suddenly cried out in terror, suddenly silenced.
Yes, Satan.
Indeed, and I would also add into that Luke Skywalker made kind of a bad savior figure, considering he got the world, you know, the universe's most powerful weapon in his hands, and the first thing that he did was stare down the barrel of it. Not really a smart thing to do. Not really savior mentality, I think. Anyways,
I got a lightsaber. Let's look. Whoa!
I'm gonna look straight down the barrel of it.
When he activated, he could have very well taken his own head off.
And that would have ended the series real quick. That would have been a real dramatic end. Movie's done. I know the people out there that hate Star Wars would probably appreciate that ending of Star Wars compared to all the others.
I'm waiting for them to say Star Trek is Satan.
I'm going to see if they do. I saw they have Harry Potter.
If they have, please send that over to me. I will try to get my special vaping guest to discuss that one.
I will take a look and see what I can find. Thanks for tuning in, Joe, and I appreciate you being here tonight. Make sure you guys tune in again over there at his show tonight. It's going to be at midnight, just in 3 hours or so, at LNMRadioNetwork.com and OpenEyesNetwork.com. We're going to try to see if we can get it to simulcast on YouTube. We're not sure yet if that's going to happen tonight, but either way, we will get it as soon as we can, whether it's this week or next week, one way or the other, we'll get it going in that method.
Yeah, and with that, my show, it's going to be kind of like we do Brothers. One week is going to be a live show. The next week will be recorded,
right,
just because of my work schedule.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Just got to deal with what you got. So if you guys want to go to the archive for this show, it's going to be at openeyesnetwork.com/OE198. And of course, it's going to be posted onto YouTube as well over at youtube.com/C/OpenEyesNetwork. And make sure you guys tune in again on Monday, because we will be live once again and bringing you the great stuff. And we will have better, you know, things better put together, basically. We were just kind of literally this is the first time.
A wing and a prayer.
It was literally the first time coming back on air after I got hit with the virus and I lost everything. So started all over again. Facebook and Twitter, Open Eyes Network, and feedback at openeyesnetwork.com to email us whatever you got. So until next time.
Email me, it's tapemaster@openeyesnetwork.com.
There you go, exactly. So until next time, keep safe out there and have fun. And thank you so much, as always, for listening. We'll see you again on Monday.